May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll read the last verse, and that's verse 22. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2 and reading verse 22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? The prophet speaks here in this chapter of those wrong things, those wrong ways of worship, and directs us to this important truth that we are to cease from man. And of course, that can represent ourselves. We are to cease from our own works, our own views, our own ideas, and to rely totally upon that which the Lord supplies and the Lord gives. We are therefore to cease from ourselves and cease from man, and to be found looking unto the Lord, indeed looking unto Jesus. And the prophet tells us in this chapter, an earlier verse, he says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what idols can be. Doesn't necessarily mean something which is a graven idol, perhaps made of stone, and we bow down to, but we may have idols in our own heart, things that we perhaps worship, and things that we often meditate on and think about, but they are not really God-honoring. See, God is a holy God, God is a jealous God, and God will not have opposition, and yet so easily we do provide that opposition. And even in such a statement like this, they worship the work of their own hands. You know, we need to realize that the Word of God is so comprehensive in its statements. And there are those things which we do, the things which we make, and we're perhaps very proud of. We stand back and admire the work of our own hands. And what we're really doing, of course, is worshipping that. And it's not, therefore, bringing glory to God. It's bringing glory to ourselves. And it's always good when we're able to succeed in doing something naturally, that we're able to acknowledge that the Lord gave us help to perform that, wisdom to do it. We always need to recognize that God has given us our natural understanding. God has given us our ability to do things, our ability to think things. It's not that which we have, it's that which God has given to us. And if we have a right understanding of such a truth, then you see, it will then elevate God rather than elevate ourselves. And especially as we may see then by the Spirit of God our total inadequacy and our unworthiness and our sinfulness in so many ways, and to then observe how good and kind and gracious God is in not dealing with us as our sins deserve, not dealing with us as we should be dealt with because of the evil of our own hearts, the evil which dwells within. Well, Isaiah directs us then to such thoughts like this, and then speaks about the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. You know, we can very easily fall into the snare of thinking, well, I'm glad I'm not like that person, I'm glad I don't do this, and I'm glad of that. And we have to be very careful that we don't fall into the trap of them being lofty in our own estimation of ourselves and being proud of our own abilities and proud of the things that we say and the things that we do. But the Word of God tells us the loftiness of man shall be bowed down and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. The Lord brings down his people in spirit. He brings them down to a low place and doesn't allow them to sit in a high place. And the Word of God here tells us the reason for that. And the reason is clear, it's important, and it's this: and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. How important it is that in our lives God is exalted and not ourselves. And how we need much grace to recognize the truth of these words and not to fall under the snare of exalting ourselves. You know, we like praise, don't we? We like people to say how good that was or how wonderful it was. And you know, we have to be very careful that we don't absorb those things upon ourselves, but that we always acknowledge it is through the grace of God. As the apostle tells us, it is through the grace of God that we do this or do that. It's not because we are naturally favored, as it were, because of our own acumen, because it's God that gives us everything. All the things that you and I have, and all that the things that we possess, physically, naturally, academically, God gives to us. And as perhaps we view the world at large, and we see many people who perhaps are not blessed with abilities or things that we have, we should in our heart so be thankful to God for all that he's given to us and all that he's favoured us with. And the reaction should really be then that we hold all these things with a light hand, realising that God has lent them to us, as it were. He's given us many things to use wisely and rightly, and not to consume the things of time on our lusts, but to be thankful for that which God has provided us with. And so here we come to these words, and of course the prophet is speaking not only day-to-day things, but also the last days of time, when all the things of this earth will perish away and there won't stand anyone in any good stead. You know, man may possess many goods and wonderful fortresses and everything, but when the Lord comes in his glory, all these things will disappear, they'll be burnt up, and man will have nothing. We should always remember the truth of that, and therefore pray for grace to walk our lives in accordance with the Word of God. And we should never forget the great example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who of course possessed all things and yet came in this world with nothing, had nothing, took nothing out. What a wonderful example we have. And what did he do in his life? Did he spoil himself? Did he spend his time on himself? No, he pleased not himself. He went about doing good. He went about with that single desire to please his Father in heaven. Well, that's the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostle comes down to the prophet comes down to these words at the end of this chapter and says then, cease from man. Cease from man. And if it wasn't necessary, it wouldn't be written. But clearly it is necessary. And it's good for us to realize the great truths that it is, because Man is mortal. Man is passing through life. Man's life is so, so short. At the very longest, it's so, so short. And we read again and again, and he died, and she died. And in that state, they had nothing naturally. What a great blessing if, when it comes to our turn to die, that we are blessed with the grace of God so we can leave everything on this earth and then to go and to be with Christ, which is far better. Well, it is good to trust in the Lord. And that's why the psalmist tells us it's better to trust in the Lord. He tells us in the 118th Psalm, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You see, sometimes we may think, well, that's an important person, and surely that person can help me, surely that person can advise me. Well, sometimes the Lord allows people to be used, but it's only through the Lord God. And so, therefore, let us not trust in man. Let us cease from man, but let us trust in the Lord, because man fails. Man can fail. Man may not intend to fail, but sometimes he does. The Lord will not fail us. And the psalmist goes on to tell us, he says, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. Yes, the devil thrusts sore at us to endeavour to make us fall, to endeavour to make us rely upon ourselves, to rely upon men. But the Lord helped me. What a blessing it is to know we have a God who is a helper. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. Well, may we be found then not trusting in self, may we be found trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord and realizing that our God is one who can do for us far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Again, in Psalm 60, we read, wilt not thou, O God, which has cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble? For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. There are enemies that rise up. We may not be able to destroy them. We may not be able to put them away. But you see, God can do that which you and I cannot do. And there are so many examples in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, in those many wars which Israel were called to fight, where the Lord appeared for them in remarkable ways and gained the victory. And therefore may we put our trust in the Lord, relying upon him and not in ourselves or in man, however able men may appear to be. And you know, it's a very easy snare to fall into when we see someone who we think is very able and very gracious perhaps, and we look to those people. Well, they are but men. God is God, and God can give you and give me the right answer, and God can give us the right direction. And therefore, what a wonderful thing it is that we have the Word of God. You think of this vast volume from Genesis to Revelation, full of direction, full of instruction, full of guidance, full of help. We need not go really anywhere else. You know, we're encouraged, aren't we, to search the Scriptures. Not go to this one or to that one. Search the Scriptures. The Scriptures will give us all that you and I need for direction in our natural life and also direction in our spiritual life. And so we are indeed to not look to ourselves, not look to frail man. How easily we can fall and look to frail man. Men are just sinners of the earth. Let us look beyond them. Let us look to our God. And therefore, surely the reason we have here tonight, cease ye from men, what are we to do? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's where we are to be found, looking for help, looking for direction, looking for blessing, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that then will put things in a right perspective, would it not? And so may we indeed cease from man and be blessed indeed. We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's referring to the Psalms, and that very beautiful Psalm, the 34th Psalm, gives us so much instruction. And the psalmist tells us in this psalm, he says, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And he gives a reason for that. "I sought the Lord." What was the result? "He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried." This lowly man, this poor man cried. Who did he cry to? The Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Yes, the Lord is able to save. Man is not. God is able, and God is willing. And in this psalm, the psalmist goes on, he says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Isn't that humbling to think that there is angels of the Lord encamping round about us to support us and to deliver us in every time of need? And so he goes on to say, "Oh, taste and see the Lord is good." You see, if we're looking to man, we're looking to ourselves, we won't have the glorious benefit of such a time of deliverance, a time of favour. No, but when we look to the Lord, you see, he says, "Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." These surely are great words of encouragement. David knew the blessing of them. He knew the difficulties in his life, the difficulties naturally, the difficulties spiritually, but he knew where to go in his time of need. He knew what it was to seek after the Lord God and to receive gracious deliverances, gracious answers, gracious direction, and gracious blessing. So we can thank God that we have testimony in the Word of God to be found looking to the Lord, looking to our God. And of course, we have those glorious words in Isaiah also, where the prophet tells us, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Look unto me and be ye saved. We're not look to man, we're not look to the Pope or to look to Muhammad or anything like that. We are to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me. And what do we see in the Lord Jesus Christ? We see all that we need for our salvation. Yes, cease from man. Look unto the Lord. And blessed it is when the Spirit of God comes and touches our heart and directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turns us away from everything else, because there is a fullness in our Saviour. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, which ever abides to answer our need. Whatever need we have naturally, and more especially in a spiritual way, the Lord will come. Look unto me and be ye saved. That's the great thing, isn't it, in the lives of everyone, to be saved. Most people do not realize the need they have. They go on aimlessly in this sinful world. They do not realize they need to be saved from the sins which possess them, the subtleties of Satan, and they don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a favour if the Spirit of God, and it is the blessed work of the Spirit of God, if that Spirit has directed us to look out of ourselves, to not look to man, but to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and to be gloriously blessed with a spiritual view of the great satisfaction there was in the death of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That death atoned for all the sins of his church. However vile, however sinful, however wicked, however evil we may be, and perhaps we don't yet fully realize how bad we are, but you know, the Spirit of God, when it works in the heart of the believer, it shows the person their sin, and more sin, and more sin, so that sometimes they have to cry out, "Can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine?" And that's why we have such glorious words like this: to cease ye from man and to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and see the all-sufficiency of that great and glorious sacrifice when he gave his life. Nothing less than that would do. Nothing less than the sacrifice of the life of the Son of God. That was the requirement. That was the price to be paid to redeem the Church of God. How glorious it is to realize the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, that one who is eternal, was so willing to enter into this sinful world to save the souls of all his people. And so today, as we read this word, "Cease ye from man," but the alternative is, and the blessing is, that we have a great and glorious Saviour who does save. Look unto me. You see, we won't look with living faith and be let down. He won't turn us away. No, we are to come unto him. He says, doesn't he, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." And that means exactly what it says. Because if we are under a burden of sin, the burden that the Holy Spirit has put there, and it drags us down and it casts us down, and we wonder whether there's any hope at all for us, well, what a favour it is then to hear the words of the Lord Jesus when he says to such people, "Come unto me." Yes, not to man. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that's a promise. There are many promises in the Word of God. And it's very wonderful they're there to encourage us as we press on in our little life here below. And as we are perhaps found in this situation, labouring, heavy laden, because of the sins which do so easily beset us. We're not to settle down and say, well, of course, that's my besetting sin, and think you can therefore excuse yourselves. Not at all. It's the opposite. As we find ourselves beset with perhaps, it may be one particular kind of sin in your life, one particular kind of sin in my life, which we are plagued with. Well, here we have a gracious invitation and a glorious promise. Come unto me. And it is qualified, you see, all you that labour and are heavy laden. Because if we don't have a need, we won't want to go to the Saviour. There won't be any logic in saying, well, come to Jesus. Why? We would only desire and want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ if we have a need. And that need will surely be if we're labouring and are heavy laden. And the promise is, I will give you rest. And, to rest in Christ is a blessed and a comfortable place. And therefore the Lord tells us and instructs us in these words, blessed with this wonderful favour of answers to our prayers, answers to our cry. We are not then just to sit down and fold our arms and think, well, this is okay, this is wonderful. No, the Lord then gives us gracious instruction that to such who are blessed in this way, they are to take his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. That means to be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean just to carry on in our own little way. No, it's a word of gracious instruction. Take my yoke upon you. And in that path, we will then learn. Learn of me. Initially, we don't know very much of the Saviour's love, of his grace and his favour. But as we are enabled by his grace to take this yoke, be joined with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells us, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. United to Christ, rest for our souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the Church of God, those who are true followers of the Saviour, have proved the words to be true. God's word is truth. Never forget that. The Lord Jesus said in that 19th chapter in John, the 17th verse, thy word is truth. And you and I can rely upon it, and we can plead to our God, thou hast said. The Lord cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his word. And therefore, what a favour it is to be blessed with this wonderful favour. And so, look unto me and be ye saved. Well, gracious invitation, is it not? And how favoured it will be if you and I are blessed with that faith to come to the Lord in this way. And the little prophecy of Micah, gives us confidence in the Lord. Never shy away from the small prophecies. They are full of gracious instruction, full of wonderful words. And Micah tells us in the 7th chapter, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoureth a father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And then the prophet says, therefore. What's he going to do? Therefore. What a perplexing situation. What's he to do? Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. And then he tells us, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. It's a confidence, is it not? And we can take hold of such words and plead them before our God. And the Lord says here, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Well, it's a wonderful statement, isn't it, to read. You can go home and read it in the 7th of Micah, and it carries on, and there's very wonderful soul-strengthening truths in that little book. Cease ye from man and be found looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not only does Micah, but also Zechariah speaks to us in his little prophecy as well. And in the 12th chapter, we're told, again, some encouraging words which we should not really turn against. He says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And we can think the Lord will destroy all those enemies that come against us. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. That means the true spirit of prayer. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is really a very clear direction the Lord brings his people into. And it's a place of blessing when we are given that grace to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we see him suffering. We see him pierced. Those nails nailing him to the cross. The agonies that he endured so that you and I might receive the blessings of grace, the blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of eternal life. Well, when the Lord comes and pours, I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Well, how wonderful it is when the Lord grants us that prayer to our God, that he will reveal himself to us as it is not unto the world. And what that means is revealing himself as that one who gave his life as a sacrifice on our behalf. That one who gave his life and shed his most precious blood in order that our sins might be washed away, taken away. It may be a great burden. Well, if you and I are looking to the Saviour, you look to the cross. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and see there that great and glorious finished work, that finished work which was completed at Calvary when the Lord uttered those glorious words, it is finished. Yes, the whole work that his Father had given to him was complete. And so as we view the Saviour at Calvary, Oh, then, not to look to ourselves. Cease from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's wonderful, isn't it, to be able to read these prophecies in the Old Testament and to be so encouraged by them. And of course, the apostle, when he wrote to the Hebrews, wrote some glorious truths with regards to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful blessing of forgiveness. And which he tells us in the ninth chapter, the last verse, the previous verse, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well, that's true of every one of us. So, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. To be found in looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, not looking to man, look beyond man. You know, sometimes people rely on men, they rely on preachers. They think, oh, well, I'll go and hear that man and I'll get a wonderful blessing. That's looking to man. We are to look to the Lord. The Lord can bless from what we might think is perhaps the poorest preacher. There's no such real statement, but nonetheless, the Lord uses whom he will. Let us not, therefore, make an unrighteous judgment. The Lord can bless. Cease from man. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord that he will grant there may be the application of his glorious gospel to our souls, which may, as it were, set our hearts on fire. A bit like we mentioned this morning, those two on the Emmaus Road, when their heart burned within them, when the Lord spoke about himself and all the glorious prophecies concerning himself. Oh, it set their hearts on fire. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them which look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And then also, of course, in the 12th chapter of the Hebrews, having given that long list of those who are blessed with that true and living faith to perform wonderful deeds, in the 11th chapter, he then comes and says, wherefore, because of all that which has been written before, wherefore, seeing we also, you and me today, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. There's many weights, aren't there? Many weights of the world which drag us down. Sometimes they may be so heavy they almost stop us. Perhaps they do stop us. Compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us. And we're not to stop there. No. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That clearly indicates to us that the race is not easy. That's why we need patience to run the race. There'll be much opposition. But because of that, the Lord tells us what we should do. As we run this race, we are to be found looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, day by day, hour by hour, looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who's begun the work of grace, the one who's given us living faith, the author and the finisher. What God has begun, he will complete. Remember, there are no failures with Christ. No failures. He didn't fail in his commission. And there are no failures in those in whose heart he gives this grace and blessing of living faith. And he says, therefore, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then he tells us about the Saviour himself, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And sometimes we need that grace to look forward to the time when we shall be in that joyful realm of glory. Who, for the joy that was set before him, you see, that will give us strength and encouragement to press on because of the joy that you and I will enter into at the end of the road, the end of our life. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, the path of the Saviour, the path of the true followers of the Saviour. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he goes on, for consider him. In every time of need, consider the Saviour. Think of him. When you have difficulties, when you have hard times, when your heart perhaps is overwhelmed, consider him. Consider the cost of your salvation. That endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus, cease ye from man. Well, may we indeed be found hearing gracious instruction like this, to cease from man. But there's not a void, there's not an emptiness. We are to be found looking unto Jesus. And blessed for that, we will not be forsaken. We will have to press on with patience through the journey of life, but looking forward with gracious anticipation to that rest that remains for the people of God, for the joy the Lord has prepared for suffering saints that will make amends for all. Amen.